May 30th, 1909. A lesson in health reform. May 26th, 1915. By Mrs. E. G. White. Ellen G. White. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat, and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. This record contains much of importance on the subject of health reform. In the experience of the 4 Hebrew children, a lesson is given regarding the need of abstaining from all spirituous liquors and from indulgence of perverted appetite. The position taken by these Hebrew youth was vindicated, and at the end of 10 days they were found fairer in flesh and better in knowledge than all the rest whom the king was proving. In this our day, the Lord would be pleased to have those who are preparing for the future, immortal life, follow the example of Daniel and his companions in seeking to maintain strength of body and clearness of mind. The more careful we learn to be in treating our bodies, the more readily shall we be able to escape the evils that are in the world through lust. There are many who believe that, in order to be fitted for acceptable service, they must go through a long course of study under learned teachers in some school of the world. This they must do, it is true, if they desire to secure what the world calls essential knowledge. But we do not say to our youth, "You must study, study, keeping your mind all the time on books." Nor do we say to them, "You must spend all the time in acquiring the so-called higher education." Let us ask, what is the object of true higher education? Is it not that we may stand in right relation to God? The test of all education should be, is it fitting us to keep our minds fixed upon the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus?
What is needed by our youth is an education like that which Daniel and his three companions gained. These faithful Hebrews were in important positions. They were placed where they must be careful to observe every principle of righteousness in order to bring others to an understanding of the principles of righteousness. It would not do for them to be lax. They could not afford to indulge appetite. They were to stand where they could, by their example, give proof of the importance of strict adherence to the principles of right living. To do this, they were willing to place themselves under test and trial. 10 days was sufficient to prove that the diet they chose was a wholesome one, and that, in adopting it, they had made no mistake. The evidence which this experience gave to the authorities led them to have a higher opinion of these youth than of all the other students under their care. We are to learn how to equalize the labor done by brain, bone, and muscle. If you put to task the faculties of the mind, loading them with heavy burdens, while you leave the muscles unexercised, this course will tell its story just as surely as the wise course of the Hebrew youth told its story. Parents should follow a consistent course in the education of their children. Our youth should be taught from their very childhood how to exercise the body and the mind proportionately. It is not wise to send the children to schools where they are subject to long hours of confinement and where they will gain no knowledge of what healthful living means. Place them under the tuition of those who respect the body and treat it with consideration. Do not place your children in an unfavorable position where they cannot receive the training that will enable them to bear test and trial. With all the precious light that has continually been given to us in the health publications, we cannot afford to live careless, heedless lives, eating and drinking as we please, and indulging in the use of stimulants, narcotics, and condiments. Let us take into consideration the fact that we have souls to save or to lose, and that it is of vital consequence how we relate ourselves to the question of temperance. It is of great importance that individually we act well our part, and have an intelligent understanding of what we should eat and drink, and how we should live to preserve health. All are being proved to see whether they will accept the principles of health reform or follow a course of self-indulgence. Let no one think he can do as he pleases in the matter of diet. But before all who sit at the table with you, let it appear that you follow principle in the matter of eating, as in all other matters, that the glory of God may be revealed. You cannot afford to do otherwise, for you have a character to form for the future, immortal life. Great responsibilities rest upon every human soul. Let us comprehend these responsibilities and bear them nobly in the name of the Lord. To everyone who is tempted to indulge appetite, I would say, yield not to temptation, but confine yourself to the use of wholesome foods. You can train yourselves to enjoy a healthful diet. The Lord helps those who seek to help themselves. But when men will not take special pains to follow out the mind and will of God, how can He work with them? Let us act our part, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling, lest we make mistakes in the treatment of our bodies, which, before God, we are under obligation to keep in the most healthful condition possible. We desire that the meetings which are held during the General Conference shall have a telling influence on every soul. Let us prove ourselves worthy of being trusted by God, worthy of His confidence in our determination that we will not betray our sacred trust. Let us open the way for the light of God to shine into the chambers of the mind. Thus we shall be prepared to help others. To those who appreciate the truth as it is in Jesus, and who desire to reveal the truth in its beauty, its power, and its sanctifying grace, God will give strength to stand against temptation. Intelligence is a gift of God, one that He desires us to use to His glory. Students need not talk of their attainments in the so-called higher education if they have not learned to eat and drink to the glory of God, and to exercise brain, bone, and muscle in such a way as to prepare for the highest possible service. The whole being must be brought into exercise if we would secure a healthy condition of mind. The mental and the physical powers should be used proportionately. To those who are desirous of being efficient laborers in God's cause, I would say, if you are putting an undue weight of labor on the brain, thinking you will lose ground unless you study all the time, you would better change your views and your course of action. Unless greater care is exercised in this respect, there are many who will go down to the grave prematurely. This you cannot afford to do, for there is a world to be saved. A great work is to be done, a work that we have scarcely begun as yet. Everywhere, everywhere, the truth is to stand forth in its glorious power and in its simplicity. Do not boast of what you know, but take your case to God. Say to Him, "I comply with the conditions. Now, Lord, as I educate my appetites and tastes, so that a healthful current of blood may flow through my veins, wilt Thou sustain me? Teach me how to use my powers in presenting the most precious truths that have ever come to mortals for the fitting up of character for the future immortal life." Fathers and mothers, you have a solemn work to do. The eternal salvation of your children depends upon your course of action. How will you successfully educate your children? Not by scolding, for it will do no good. Talk to your children as if you had confidence in their intelligence. Deal with them kindly, tenderly, lovingly. Tell them what God would have them do. Tell them that God would have them educated and trained to be laborers together with Him. When you act your part, you can trust the Lord to act His part. Be strong in faith and teach your children that we are all dependent upon God. Read to them the story of the four Hebrew children and impress their minds with a realization of the influence for good that was exerted in Daniel's time because of strict adherence to principle. In connection with your home, have a garden if possible, where your children can work and where you can work with them. So instruct them and so arrange their work that their spare time will not be spent in idleness. Give them something definite to do and let them feel that they are doing something to help father and mother to sustain the family. Let the older ones feel the responsibility of giving a right example to the younger children. Let all act a part according to their years. When the children thus trained attend school, they will have clear minds. They will be able to reason for themselves and will not accept that which this one says or what that one says without some proof. I wish to say to every father and mother, if you have a hasty temper, seek God for help to overcome it. When you are provoked to impatience, go to your chamber and kneel down and ask God to help you, that you may have a right influence over your children. Your children are God's children. They are to have a life that measures with the life of God. Can you comprehend it? A life that measures with the life of God. It was to give them this that God sent His Son into the world. For this Christ laid off His royal robe and kingly crown and came to this sinful world as a helpless babe. He was educated under the supervision of heavenly angels. He worked at the carpenter's trade, He who was the Prince of Life, the Savior of all that would believe in Him. When Christ came to our world, in Him were combined divinity and humanity. In His humanity, He could lay hold of humanity. By virtue of His divinity, He could bring power and health and grace to mankind. Thus, He would make men and women partakers of the divine nature and able to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. To us is given the work of overcoming. This is no haphazard work. Only as we become partakers of the divine nature can we overcome our hereditary and cultivated tendencies to evil. We must be trained to understand and follow Bible principles. We must learn of Christ the science of eating and drinking to the glory of God. The Lord desires that His people shall be a wise people and carry a sensible influence wherever they go. He has given us capabilities and a part to act in His work. Let us act our part as faithfully as the four Hebrew worthies acted theirs. Then angels of God will preside in our homes. You remember the story of the woman who was healed by touching Christ's garment when in the midst of a dense throng? Her disease was such that no earthly physician's power could help her. She saw Jesus healing the sick, and hope sprang up in her heart. She thought she would wait her opportunity, and when she got within reach of the Savior, she put forth her finger and touched the hem of His garment, and immediately she was made whole. In this experience, there was a lesson that Christ desired to impress on the throng about Him. Humanity had connected with divinity, and the blessing had been received.
Christ came to the earth to bring divinity to humanity. We need that divinity. Young and old need it. If you do not know anything about this power, I beseech you for Christ's sake to seek for it. Endeavor to live a consistent life. Take hold of Christ by living active faith. Come to Him just as you are, helpless and dependent, and say, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Help me to study thy life, thy self-denial and self-sacrifice. Help me to become a Christian in every sense of the word.